want to partake of your word today. To change our lives. May the soil of our heart right now be good soil to receive that word in Jesus' name. Everyone said, you can be seated, you can be seated. In a series we're doing about hearing God talk to us. How many want God to talk to us? How many talk to God and wonder if He even hears us? Okay. Well, we're going to kind of walk through that today. And this will be part three. We'll see where we go next week or the week after. We'll be in next week. We've been talking about hearing Father's voice, haven't we? And these are the things we do know. He created this earth. Job says that He spoke and stars came out of His mouth and He created the whole universe. And then He says, let there be light on this one little black place. And then He begins to speak. He begins to speak. He begins to speak. And there's waterfalls and there's rivers. And there's plant life and animal life. And there's gigantic redwoods. Big Sur. I mean the beauty of this earth to a T. But that was not for His good pleasure. Because then what He did is He did not speak, but He took and He made man. He said, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, us in perfect unity, let us create man that he might enter into this Trinity. And might experience the unity, the love, the creativity of who we are. So He creates man, and He created earth just for a place to place you and I. What an incredible God. There's a test. A test is coming. This is what the test is. This is the consequences of the test. Here's the test, failure. But then He made a way for us to return back to that unity of the Father. And He woos us and loves us into the kingdom. Did God beat anyone here up to get you into the kingdom? He loved us into the kingdom. Then why, after we come into the kingdom, would we think that the only time God wants to talk to us is when we're bad? He created all this to place us. He wants to speak life to us. He has set us here to have community with Him and community with each other. Anyone feel Father's presence here this morning? Amen. That's unity and His presence and community here this morning. Not one of us starts out hearing Father's voice very clearly. All of us have to do what? It's a learning process. We are over here in the darkness of this world and feel God wooing us and loving us, and we're hearing all kinds of voices that are going on in this world. Voices of our peer pressure, voices of our government, voices of our school teacher, voices of our children, voices of our parents, voices of the world shouting, Hollywood screaming at us. I'm going to ask you guys to pay attention, okay? Screaming at us. This is vitally important for us today. And then we get translated into this kingdom. And we're hearing another voice for the first time and trying to divide it and discern it from those voices. So this morning we're going to take the example of a man in the scripture, that he hears God's voice, and when he does, he misses it. But later he becomes a prophet. And it is said of them, he never missed God again. Dude, I'd like that to be said of me, that I never miss God. I could not even count the times that I've missed God on one hand, but I can't even count the many times that I heard Him and followed Him on the other hand, right? 1 Samuel, if you want to write these down, you want to get your deal, you're going to do. But if you got a note deal, I want you to take some notes today. And the reason I'm going to do it is because I'm going to cover on one of the things today, and it's going to be vitally important. I've got all the scriptures put up, but you know what? I got me a wide margin Bible. Anyone ever looked at my Bible? I've got places in there. And matter of fact, you can get into certain deals where I've already, this Bible's a year and a half old, and I've already got pages falling out of it. I believe in writing right next to this, so that as I read it, I can go back and see what God has spoke to me in the past. But it says now, the boy Samuel was what? Okay, let's try it again. When I say what, that means, that's not rhetorical, okay? Now a boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. Okay, anyone know the story? Hannah's going to have a child. Hannah, actually, she's barren. She comes to the priest. She comes to the temple. She's praying. She's praying silently. Jews don't pray silently. They pray out loud. Go to the Wailing Wall. I mean, there, and it's loud at the Wailing Wall. He thought she was drunk. Why? Because she wasn't praying out loud. And he just comes up to her and says, whatever you're praying, let it be done. The priest did that. She wants a child. She brings that child back to him. His name is Samuel. Samuel is there placing a deal, and she said, I'm going to give this back to the Lord. So Eli, his priest, his pastor, his mentor, is raising him. He is living in this place. And it says that he is ministering to the Lord before Eli. And the word from the Lord was rare in those days. And visions were very, very, very infrequent. So let's stop right here. And let's begin to break some things down so that we understand. The word ministering. Dude, it is so misunderstood. And we need to understand it. When you and I think of ministry, give me an example of ministry. Someone give me an example of ministry you understand? Huh?
Preaching.
Preaching. Okay, what else? Prison ministry. Okay, what else? He's already read through this. Okay, let's walk through it. When we think of ministry, it's like, oh, that is what God has groomed me for. And I am now waiting for God to open the door of ministry that He has groomed me for. It ain't going to happen. Why? Let's go on. I have a healing ministry. Once back in 1937, I laid hands on somebody and they were healed. I have a prophetic ministry. I prophesy over people all the time. God's given me a prophetic ministry. I have a deliverance ministry. Just come to me and I can get you delivered, you know, and I can find demons behind every bush in your life. I have a worship ministry. I worship, and I can bring people into worship. Listen, guys, there's so much misunderstanding about ministry, and I want us to understand this. And I want to get it well so that we understand. Because I'm going to ask one simple thing. Everybody raise your hand. Everybody. Okay, now everybody who has your hand up, you're a minister. What do you mean? Okay, let's walk through this. When we see Samuel, it says he ministered to who? To the Lord. That's who he ministered to. The word of ministry means this. Are you ready?
Yeah.
To serve. Samuel served the Lord in whatever needed to be done. He assisted what was going on in the temple and everything that needed to be done. He attended to things. He made sure all the I's were dotted, all the T's were crossed. He was a personal servant. Anyone know what an attaché is? An attaché is someone who is... Donald Trump has an attaché. He sets up his meetings. He makes sure that Donald Trump's everywhere he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be. He makes sure that if there's plane tickets that need to be bought, and there's not because he owns his own personal jet, if they need the limousine there, if they need all that, he makes sure that everything is done. Donald Trump doesn't have to worry about those things. His attaché takes care of those things. Anyone know who a concierge is? Concierge is in a hotel. Anything that you need, he will take care of. He will provide for that one to take care of. And my favorite about ministry is to be a waiter. Carol and I and Phil and Trish and, Clint and then, we were out to eat last night and we have a lady coming and she makes sure we have our plates. She makes sure we get tea, mango tea. She makes sure that we got, that lobster dip? She made sure that the cup stayed full. She made sure we were taken care of. Everything that needed to. See, that's what a minister is. A minister is one who sees a need and feels the need. A minister is one who doesn't beat up on other people, but serves other people. A minister is not harsh. They are not the boss. Jesus says, I came to serve. I did not come to be served. So when we think of ministry, if we have the idea, well, I have a prophetic ministry, or I have this, or I'm waiting for God to open a door of ministry to me. Listen, you don't even have an idea of what ministry is all about. If you're lording over people, if you're beating up on people, if you're cruel to... Listen, one thing that should never be happen, your blood should never be on my staff as a pastor. And if it is, then dude, you need to remove me. Because if I begin to beat you, I didn't see Jesus do that. Well, what about the time he went into the temple? What about the time he went in the temple? Let's be real honest with that. It says that he took a whip. Try looking up whip in that word whip right there up in the Greek and find out what it was. Was it a cat of nine tails that they took when they beat him? No. The whip they used that he talks about, that he took a whip, is this. It comes and it is worn during harvest time, and it's three pieces of wheat that are woven together and it's worn in the belt. If you have an idea that Jesus took that and beat people and they fell, they broke their legs, you've missed it. He overturned the tables, yes. But a God of love did not beat and bruise people. Look that up. We've got to take what you preach at us and look at that. Go look it up. Because when I heard that for the first time, I'm going, dude, have I missed that for so many years? If the blood is on our staff, if we're beating other people, if we're accusers of other people, and we're bringing discord among the family and the brethren, then we are not of God. We are diabolical and demonic in our activities. Well, I'm a Christian. I can't be demonic. He turns to Peter and says, Satan has entered you. Get behind me, Satan. That we, even though can be Christians, open ourselves to the dark side and spew a bunch of garbage. Amen? So what is ministry? We're to take care of, to be waiters. Buddy and Rick live back there. to take care of you. They're filling your tea glass full. Miranda and those guys back in Children Today, they're taking care of our children and raising them in the admonition of the Lord. This is where we get off base. We think that ministry is this great gift that God gives us to separate ourselves from others. In other words, I am the pastor, and I have been given this gift by God to rule over you and lead you in the direction you should go. I am special. I am chosen of God. Through time, through the annals of time, He looked down upon me and said, this kid with the big nose, I will set him aside, for he, with that nose, he can really lead the congregation. I am His special agent. But a true minister is one who becomes the personal servant of who he is ministering to. To be a waiter to him or to her, to take care of, to assist. To wait on, to help, smooth the pathway and road before him, that it becomes very real and it's not game playing. If we are true ministers, everyone that raised your hand, you are a minister. If we are true ministers, then what? The needs of that person that we're called to minister to is the highest calling that we can have. Buddy, working with people in the nursing home. When you go to work, Julie, same thing. You go to work, all the cares of this world don't matter, do they? You're there taking care of that person. How many have you led to the Lord before they pass away? Quite a few of them. How many times have you come and held my hand and cried because you lost somebody that was there? Because you have ministered to them. To lay down our lives to assist them to walk to a higher level in the Lord. A minister is not someone that says, do it my way, and stomps on you, but they get down and polish your shoes. I'm called here to serve you, to attend to you, to assist you, to help you, to lead you, to undergird you in everywhere I can. And when I do that, I'm doing the same thing that Samuel did. I'm ministering to the Lord, doing what God's called and empowered me as the pastor of this church to do. Everybody follow me? God speaking to anybody yet? Okay. All right. If ministry is about me, then I'm ministering to myself and not to the Lord. It's not about me. It is about Him. And when you make ministry, or you make me, or you make this church about you and what you want or what someone else wants, listen, you have stepped over into a dark side and you need to get things right. Because this place is about Him. It is not about you and it's not about me. That one thing I always talk about, you know, oh, God's my co-pilot. No, He's not. He's the pilot, Jesus is the co-pilot, and the Holy Spirit's the navigator. I'm just lucky to be in the bathroom in the back part of the airplane. Give me a break. It's about Him. that He came in to redeem my soul. And that's what ministry is about. And we miss it so much. And it says this, it goes on. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. In other words, you didn't hear much from the Lord. He didn't talk very much. Visions were very rare taking place. There was no accredited public prophet like Samuel or Isaiah or Nathan or Jeremiah or Habakkuk or Obadiah or Jonah. There was not a prophet on the scene. So God was not speaking very often, very, very rarely. Here's what we're going to look at real quick. God seems to move and speak in seasons. There's three pockets of time where we see signs and wonders. Did we see this guy named Moses? And there's all kinds of signs and wonders and healings and all kinds of stuff there, right? We move through time and then there's really not much. Then the dynamic duo, Elijah and Elisha, and it's hot rocks again, man. I mean, things are happening like crazy. Rain, no rain, dead people raising up, all kinds of stuff, and then nothing. Nothing. Then Jesus. Everywhere through Acts, and then very little, very rarely. 400 years of gap between Malachi, Malachi, if you're Italian, and Matthew. 400 years of silence. Question, have there been any times that it's been real dry in your life? Where, I mean, it seems like He's talking all the time and then all of a sudden nothing. Anyone experience that too? Okay. Anyone know why it happens? Here's the reason. I don't know. He just does things like that. Remember, His ways aren't my ways. And He tells me that. I can't even think like He thinks. It's amazed me that He can get down on my level. He just does it that way sometimes. Well, I haven't heard from Him. Am I far from God? Not necessarily. Sometimes He just doesn't speak. It happened at a time Eli was laying down in bed in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim. In other words, he's going blind. Here's another thing that happens that some people don't want to accept. We do get older. I don't see as good as I used to see. I thank God that God gave an anointing on people called doctors that could give me glasses and I can see a little bit better. Carol will tell you, I don't hear as well as I used to. Carol's a liar. I don't hear anywhere near as good as I used to. And the lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the where? He's in the temple. Where what? The Ark of God. Everybody know what the temple is? You got an outside courtyard, then you got another inner room, and then you got Ark of the Covenant, and then this is the first account of ever hearing God, Samuel ever hearing God. He knew enough, listen, he knew enough to answer back. Okay, that's good. That's a good point. So he hears him, he gets up running, and he goes, Eli, did you need me? And Eli's going, dude, man, you must have been in between, you know, sleep and dreamland. I didn't say anything to you. Go lay back down. Okay. He goes and he lays back down. Then he hears Samuel. Runs to Eli, you called me. You called me. I heard you. It must have been bad pizza. It's not me. Go back to bed. Now Samuel did not know that it was the Lord, nor had he heard the word from the Lord yet been revealed to him. We're not told how God spoke to Samuel in volume. Okay? It doesn't appear that it was a loud booming voice, or Eli would have heard it too. It wasn't a whisper either, because the voice is going to come through the ark behind the Holy of Holies, and he's not laying next to the ark, so it's not a whisper. He heard it from another room. All we're told is that God was calling him, Samuel, Samuel. Important lesson. A lesson that we neglect over and over. Because of that, many people get way off base. Okay. Is this. He hears the voice. And where did he go? To his pastor. He ran to Eli. He ran to his mentor. He did not run to his neighbors. He did not run down the street to the local bar and order a scotch and say, "Man, I heard this voice. Can you help me?" He didn't get on the phone to his network. Where did he go? He went to his pastor. Ooh. There are so many people that start hearing God. They get over in this kingdom and they're starting to hear God, but they're still hearing all these other voices. Paul says there's many voices in this world, and none of them were that significant. And now he's trying to divide between what this was and what that was. And they get caught over in a group of people, and they're hearing all this kind of moomba boomba and wobble, and they get confused, and then they just tear off, and there's a lot of tearing that takes place when they do. And it's usually in them, and it's those that are around them. Instead of coming here to me and saying, "I'm having issues," or "I'm trying to hear God clearly, can you help me?" Because that's one of the things, as a minister unto the Lord, God has called and empowered him. You know, the thing is when I talked about it last week, when I say there's times that he speaks to me about my family, about my wife, about myself, about the church, there's times that he speaks to in me individually about certain people in the congregation. Some of that I go to them, some of it I don't. There have been times that I go to pray for a person and God says, "I'm going to heal them. And I know they're going to be healed." There have been sometimes I go to pray for a person, God says, "Don't go there." Now, I don't know why. I believe that there's a God of healing, but there is something deal. And you know what? I had a word, I was shared with someone not too long ago, a man of God that, man, I take his word to the bank. And he says, "You know, I've been praying for these people, and God told me, don't." And I said, "Me too." And I don't know why. And it's not any of my business to know why. My business is to minister to the Lord. If you're struggling with hearing, am I hearing the right thing? Let's come line it up. I had someone come to me at one time and told me, "I'm going to be doing this." I said, "Well, why didn't you come to me?" "Well, God told me not to." "Oh, really?" I picked this up and I said, "What you just told me goes against everything that is inside of there. And shipwreck will be coming to that person sooner or later. It may not happen right now, but it's going to come. I fear for those things." When I got saved, listen, I didn't hear his voice very much or very often. Man, I was a surfer rock and roll boy. Long hair, the whole thing. I could hear then. It's probably that loud rock and roll stuff that I can't hear any good anymore. Anyway, but when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he gave me my language, and he gave me that kind of thing, listen, that's when things begin to open up, really, to hear and understand. Father wants you filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to have your language. He wants you to pray in ways that you don't know how. Don't resist what he wants. Is it scary? No, not really. Is it supernatural? Well, yeah. Dude, it comes from God. But when I got filled, the whole world opened up. And then things that never made sense started making sense. You know, right now I'm further along in my Christian walk than I've ever been. And now I'm seeing things that are making so many different things of the Word fit together than like I've ever seen before. It's just like, wow. When I got filled and I started hearing God, it wasn't about, you know, what color of shirt I was supposed to be wearing that day, what kind of food I was supposed to pick up at the grocery store. It wasn't anything like that. But all the loose ends begin to fit together. It wasn't big stuff that I heard from him, okay? But it was stuff like this. Are you ready? Here's one of the things he spoke to me. You ready? Obey your dad. I remember the day that word came. And I remember it being so impactful that I said, yes, sir, immediately. God knows us well enough that He needs to give us, if He just gives us one little small thing, you know what? It'll clear up so many things in your life. But there was a point at that time when God spoke to me, obey your dad in this area. When I obeyed Him, man, it made almost every one of my problems go away. And here, Samuel is learning to hear the voice of God. And the Lord says to Samuel again a third time, so he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. It was not in between, you know, closing my eyes and level one asleep. It wasn't in that realm. It wasn't the bad pizza because I had spaghetti. You called me, and Eli perceived that it was the Lord. He says, go back in there and listen. You know, the neat thing about hanging out with people who know the Lord is they know the sound of His voice. Let me just say this. Don't raise your hand. Anyone struggle with prayer? Knowing how to pray? Learning how to pray? Being able to pray? Come here on Wednesday nights. I mean Thursday night prayer. You know what? There's been, Jimmy Sefcik used to tell me this. He said, man, he said, you know how I learned to pray? I used to go in prayer on Saturday nights with Don and Siri. And for over a year, it was Don and Siri alone praying. That was it. And we both walked. We both prayed out loud. Jenny, do I pray out loud? I pray out loud. I pray out real out loud because I'm deaf and I can't hear. Ask my wife. Pray out loud. And Jimmy told me, he goes, that's how I learned to pray. There's going to be a scripture that will pop up. I'll show you that in a minute. Have you ever known anyone that was like that? It's like, you know, they just seem to hear God all the time. It's like they got a direct pipeline to God. The doctor that Carol works, every time he got in some situations and stuff, he'd send word with Carol, have Don pray. He's got a straight pipeline to God. Every time he prays, it gets answered. This is what it says in Hebrews. Remember your leaders. Those that watch over you, your pastor in this case, who have spoken the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You ever wonder when he says this and he throws that scripture in like that? How that means, this is what it means. Look to your pastor, the one who leads you. And you know what? I'm going to be real honest. There are times in ministry and life God will allow my humanity to come forth beautifully so you can see that I'm an idiot sometimes because I'm only human. Will I make mistakes? Absolutely. Have you seen me repent to you when I've made those mistakes? Absolutely. But what you have not seen, and nor will you ever see, and this is what I tell counsel, that no matter what comes our way, we will not shut down ministry and moving in the direction that God is out of fear. And we will move in that direction. Look at their fruit. Look at their lifestyle. In other words, grab onto their coattails and be a copycat and follow them. Don't follow a false voice that is leading you in a whole nother direction. Just as Joshua followed Moses. Just as Elijah followed Elijah. Just as Timothy followed Paul. Just as Polycarp followed Peter. What God is saying is simply this: if you will follow somebody who will teach you to hear His voice, I will do the same in your life as I did in those guys that we just mentioned. For I do not change. When you came on the scene, I am the same yesterday. I am the same right now. I am the same right now. I am the same right now. And I am the same over there, and I haven't got there yet. Mark 4. I'm not going to read the scripture. I got it up here. Well, let's read the scripture. Mark chapter 4. It's not that much. Dude, if I go a little long, is that okay? Good, because you have no choice. Matthew, Mark. Mark 4. I haven't gone long in a long time. Hallelujah. Mark 4. Verse 13 says this: Then Jesus said to them, he's talking to the disciples, "Don't you understand this parable?" Because he just told this parable. "How then will you understand the parable?" Says it, listen, "The farmer who sows the seed, some of the people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as the word is sown," guy's walking along, he's taking seed, he's throwing it off to the side. The moment the seed hits the ground, what happens? "As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown to them. Others are like seed sown on rocky places. They hear the word and once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last just a short time, and when trouble and persecution comes, the word is quickly falls away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, they hear it, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things comes in and chokes off the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown is on good soil, and hear the word, accept it, produce a crop 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. Verse 24, "Consider carefully what you have heard," he commanded. "With the measure that you use it, it will be measured against you and even more." Well, let's walk through that parable. Let's walk through that this morning. This is a parable of a sower, and he sows seeds, and the seeds is what? The Word of God. It's given out freely. Let's just take right now, today, this morning. We could have taken mini church last Friday night. We could have taken any time that I taught youth or any of that. We can take that anything. Here I am. I'm the sower. I have the Word of God, and I'm going and I'm throwing the seed or the word out to you. Okay? Everybody, we're there? And yet on any given day, that word that I'm throwing out can land in four different places. You follow me? Is it the fault of the person who's giving it out? No, it's the places where it falls. It's not just a sermon concerning salvation. Does it include salvation? It's included in there, but it's being spoken to followers. There is way, way more in this parable than what we think. So we're going to look at another side of this parable today. This parable is about you and me. And it's about you and me yesterday. It's about you and me right now. It's about you and me tomorrow. Okay? Right now. Right now, today. Receiving the Word of God in our lives, and tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after, and the day after. Four different responses given to the Word. Ready? "And he said to them, The sower sows the seed. I'm walking along. I'm in here and I'm taking it. And I'm giving out the word of God. Okay? We follow it? And it lands beside the road on all the people. And immediately who? Let's read it. Immediately Satan comes and what? Takes away the word that has been sown. I sow seed. Immediately Satan is right here. I mean, he's right behind me. Every time I teach. How's he do that? I can do that because the other day I left my shirt all over and I was showing everybody my abs and nobody would tell me. Anyway, here we are. He can do that several ways. Has God really said that? Don's just a game player. He's just using people. He got you as a puppet on a string. Are you ready to watch the Texas football game this afternoon with Case Keenum starting for the first time in the NFL? There's lots of ways it can be stolen. You follow me? He comes and he steals it immediately. It could be a word from another person. I need to be real honest with you. I'm not one of these guys that, if I go long, is that okay? I am so sorry. I'm not one of those guys that's led by words and visions and all those. I love it when people come and give me one. I do not base my life on words and visions. I base my life on the Word of God. However, when somebody comes and gives me a dream or a vision that they've had or a word from the Lord they had and it confirms that which the Word says me, I will grab it and put strength to it. Amen? I will say this. Right now, today, I am more excited about where we are as a church and where we are heading in the next couple of months than I have ever been in 15 years from here. I cannot believe the amount of words that are coming from different parts of the country, substantiating not what only what he has told me, but he is substantiating one another of everything they're going. Listen, things are about to happen. There is major breakthrough through it. Well, Don, it just doesn't look like it. Looks are deceiving. You guys were worshiping better than I've ever seen you worship before. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord here, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And as you and I paint a picture of hope to lonely people and give t-shirts away to little kids. Dude, it's amazing what God can do with a simple $9 t-shirt. And at the end of the service, I want people to wrap around you right there and pray. She can be a bridge of 45 girls in her cheer class that can fill that place up in one day like that. And then what are we going to do? We're going to take up an offering because we got another 45 shirts to buy. Hallelujah. Listen, we didn't have the $600 to do it. I will not stop ministry. And could she get 45? No. Could she get 10, 12? Yeah. Some of those need healing in their body. Some of them need healing in their home. What are we doing? Let's just sit back and beat up the pastor and make him the fault of everything so we can do it? We're supposed to be about that. A word of the Lord can come to you this morning, right here, where you're sitting. It could be while you're reading His Word this morning, yesterday. But once that seed is sown, the enemy is going to come immediately, try to steal it. Is there anything that you and I can do to prevent it? I'm glad you asked. Number one, take notes. The reason I want you to take notes is not to leave them in your Bible, and you can look back and go, oh, this was my daddy's Bible, and I can see back in 1972, he took this note. Now, I do have some of my dad's notes that he took. And they're a treasure to me of things that I spoke, as he said in this church and listened to me minister, and things he wrote that the Lord was speaking to him. That's treasure. But they're not to be archived. That's why at many churches I give out notes with scriptures, and we go word by word by word, as simple as we can. Why? Because we don't normally get it. And these are notes that I can go back to as I begin to study. Take notes. Tell others. You're freed of alcohol and drugs. You tell them. Depression, you're freed from. You tell them. God spoke to me about this. I'm going to hold you accountable to that. When I see your life going in the opposite direction of where it should go, I'm going to hold you accountable to that. Here's the thing. God gives us a word, whether it's in the Bible or somewhere else. Do we mix it with faith? Do we take that and go, oh, that's too big, that's too far out for me, that's I'm not having anything to do it? Or do we take that and say, God, I'm going to risk it, and I'm going to mix it with faith, because I do have faith, but there is some unbelief, and will you help me with my unbelief? And don't blow it off and say, I'll take care of that tomorrow. Because if you blow it off, it just got stolen. No raise of hands, because I've asked this question before, and I know certain people that are sitting here that you raised your hand big time. Has God ever spoke to you something in the middle of a Sunday morning service and you walked off and you blew it off and you lost it? Why? Because Satan comes to steal. In a similar way, these are the ones that are the sowed with seed on rocky places. When they heard the word, immediately they received it with joy. They had no firm foot in themselves, but it was only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arise, because of that, the word immediately what? Fell away. Here's the picture. A person who hears the word and doesn't take it and draw it near to the heart, it may be a good word, but they don't draw it close to the heart. Paul tells them, do not just hear the word, do the word. Carol and I used to go shopping all the time. She don't care to. I'd still go shopping. I was a good shopper, wasn't I? And she would call me. She was somewhere. Oh, you were somewhere not too long ago. And she calls me. The women's thing, Branson. I found a jacket! Okay, my thought was, dude, we ain't got the money. I did not hear the excitement in her voice. I did not draw that near to my heart. If it had been drawn near to my heart, I would have said, get the jacket. Later that day, I'm rehearsing that, and I'm going, Don, you blew it. And I called her back, and I said, go get the jacket. See, she gave me a word. I did not draw it near to my heart. I cheated my wife out of something. You follow me? Her sin, my sin, not hers. God tells us something really beautiful and wonderful, and He wants us to have it, and we do not draw it near to our heart. And when persecution comes, it falls away. It's never drawn to the heart. It's not drawn close enough to be given roots. And all of a sudden, poof, it's gone. Everybody follow me? I'm hurrying. I've seen it in counseling. I've seen it in sessions. I've seen it in tongues interpretation. I have counseled with people, and listen, counseling works, and it works every time. If you do what you're counseled to do, if it's good counsel. AA works every time if you do the steps. Teen Challenge works every time if you do the steps. If you don't do the steps, it doesn't work. Sorry. I've had people come to me and I've counseled, and they come back the next week and I go, did you do what I tell you to do? No. Then why are we having another meeting? Some of my sessions are real short. Some of them, they don't like what I say, because it's always biblical counsel, and they'll run from that. I've seen it in tongues and interpretation. I've seen it where someone gives a tongue, someone gives interpretation, then everybody goes, yay! And they go on with the service, and we miss what God said to us. Listen, I'm going to be the first to tell you, I would love more tongues and interpretation in this church. I really would. But God hasn't gifted me or given me that gift in that area. There's times it's happened. But I do not want tongues and interpretation like I had when I grew up in my church, where every week Lillian Hawkins Smith gave tongues. Every week, you know, over here was Pat Gresham did the interpretation. And it was always, Jesus is coming back. Dude, I know he's coming back. I don't need to hear that. But I want it real. I want it from the throne. I have heard it in words of wisdom, words of knowledge. I will tell you that when I'm on the mission trip, when Mickey's on the mission trip, dude, when we're there, we're given words of knowledge and wisdom like we've never done before. We're sitting there and with this group of leaders one morning, and they've got them lined up for us, and it was like every other person. You know, Mickey gave a word over this one. I'm giving a word over this one. Mickey's giving a word over this one. Marcy turns to me, you have a word for this one? I said, no, but I do that one over there. I would love more of it. And those things happen. And certain excitement comes when it is drawn near to the heart. There will always arise pressure anytime God gives you a word. Times when you hear His voice and you want to believe it. Times when you feel the weight of it. Where you read something and you go, that is me. Whoa, it's me. And you feel the weight of what takes place. Times when trouble and persecution comes, and too many times we just give up and throw in the towel. Okay. And others, there's those that the seed was sown among thorns, and those are the ones that heard the word. But the worries of the word, deceitful and the decisions, the desires of other things, what? Choke off the word, and we become unfaithful. The worries of this world. This is why I love missions trips. I wish everybody could go on a mission trip to just experience this one thing. You leave all the worries of the world and home behind. No PSO bills are coming in the mailbox that day. You're not around television. You're not around radio. You're not around any of that stuff. You're in a whole nother deal. You're over here, and every day is a brand new day with God. You guys, you know what you really have to worry about on a mission trip if you go with me or Mickey? You know what you have to worry about? This is the only thing you have to worry about. Whether we're going to come to and ask you to preach that night. That's it. There's no other worry. Because I'm not going to take you and eat food that I don't like, so you don't have to worry about bad food. I'm not going to take you in an area that's dangerous because I don't want to be in a dangerous area. I will take my wife where anacondas fall out trees and chase them. But other than that, that's all where I'm going to take you to. Because if you're on a mission trip, every day is a brand new day, and you're up and you're going, God, what are you going to do today? And I get to be part of that. That's why I love mission trips. But see, in this world, we got all that stuff coming, and then the world screams at us, money, 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 money. And money is telling you, you need more of me so you exist. How many run out of money and still have more month left? Not a good thing. But this is what Jesus is saying. You're letting everything else consume you, and the word I give you bears no fruit because it chokes it out. I'm going to ask Lisa to come on up front. And those are the one, listen, on whom the seed was sown on good soil. And they heard the word, and they accepted, and they bore fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, I like that. If you're good fruit soil, you're going to bear good fruit, and you're going to bear a lot of fruit. And he was saying to them, take care how you listen. By your standard of measure, it'll be measured back to you. And more will be given to you besides. What is he saying? This is this morning's takeaway. Every day with God is a brand new day. What kind of soil did your heart wake up with this morning? How did you go to bed last night? Did you go to bed mad at your husband or at your wife? Because if you did, most likely you're going to wake up in the morning with a heart that's stony. Everything's going to bounce off. Did you go to bed that night with just consumed with the worries of the bills and the financial pressure and not handing that over to the Father? Most likely you're going to wake up the next morning with vines growing that choke off anything that God wants to say to you. How did you go to bed last night? Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. That pastor, he's just a jerk. Yeah. And you went to bed with gossip. And you woke up with bitterness. How was your heart when you came this morning? How is your heart every day? Do you pick up the Word of God? I mean, Thursday morning, I was taking Ashlyn to school that day. I can't remember that day. And I remember waking up that morning. Do you hear me praying in tongues at night when I get up in the morning? I mean, I woke up with such a song on my heart that day that I may have drove Ashlyn nuts driving to school that morning, driving, holding her hand, praying for divine healing over this asthma in her life. A new day has dawned. It's time to sing your song again. And no matter what happens, no matter what comes this way, may I be singing your song when the evening comes. How's the soil of your heart today? Is it good soil? Is there a song in your heart? What value do you really give the Word of God and the voice in your life? The value you give it is the value that's going to return. I love compound interest and things on sale. I really like free.
Yeah, free's good.
But free doesn't hang around me too often. You go in, item, 40% off or 20% off. Extra for the same price, what do? We tend to buy those things because we're drawn to that. And the only way to get God's value in my life is this, is the importance of His Word. And it doesn't matter how it's delivered to you, whether it comes in thick theological things that you have to dissect and begin to understand, or if it comes so simple, because if it says, oh, it's so simple, we throw it out, and what happens is God says, what are you doing that for? I gave you that Word and that simplicity. And you're taking His Word and you're throwing it away. Be careful with what you do with His Word. Because see, His Word brings back to me 30, 60, 100-fold in my life. And that's what I want. Simply asking this question, what is the condition of the soil of your heart today? What will you do with what you heard today that you know is of God? What will you do? Will you let the enemy steal it? Will you go to someone and say, this is what God spoke to me today. Help hold me accountable to this. And if someone comes to you and says that, be sure you hold them accountable. Will we let the cares of the world overtake this stuff? None of us have enough money, nor are we ever going to have enough money. So how do we solve that? Get into his economy system and begin to tithe. Because understand this, your tithing has zero, zero, zero to do with me. It has to do everything between you and the Father. We're going to talk about non-tithing because there's people here that you're not. And you're not because of me, or you're not because you don't understand it, or you're not because you say, I can't afford it. You're never going to be able to afford it. It's a step in faith. Carol and I started this years ago. I don't even have to worry whether we tithe or not. She takes care of it. You know why? It's her paycheck. And it's first fruit. She writes that check right off the bat. Because see, listen, this is the one thing. If you don't tithe off the beginning, that 10%, and you just give what's left, understand, that's not tithe. Even if it's 10%, that's not tithe. That's an offering. Tithe is the first fruit. We'll talk about that later on. But understand, your tithing has nothing to do with you and me. It has everything to do with you and the Father. Well, I wasn't there a couple of weeks. Does that mean I still have to give? That's between you and Father. And he said, yeah. I am proud of our young guy. Listen, I got young guys in here. Young guys in here that are tithing better than adults in here. And I'm going like, I'm amazed. I'm amazed because they're grabbing the principle, not of Don, but they're grabbing the principle of the Father. What is the condition of the soil of your heart? Is there something that you need to be made right with someone else because you're out of whack and your heart has become stony? Are you out of fellowship? Are you caught in a gossip deal where you become thorny again? And it doesn't matter what God speaks to you, it chokes it off. What's the condition of your heart? You hear my heart? I'm not beating up anybody. What I'm saying is I want my heart. I want Father to constantly till my heart. Search me, oh God, where I'm in error. Show me that I might. Take not your Spirit from me. Change my heart, oh God. I don't want stones in my heart and I don't want stones in my hand. Amen. Father, we just thank you for today. I don't apologize for going long. I don't apologize for coming on strong. I don't apologize for weeping. Father, if what I have done today is minister unto you, and it's not about me, it's about you. I ask that every heart here today, that through, at least through this time of speaking and talking, that you did massage the heart and you began to take out rocks, you begin to take out thorns, and we ourselves have put a stop to the enemy. But what we have heard today, that we allow that to grow, draw it close to our heart, that we might not sin against you, and that we might prosper 30, 60, 100 fold in you. Every eye bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I simply just want to ask one quick question. Do you know Jesus? I mean, do you really know Jesus? If you're unsure that you really have made your salvation sure, all I'm going to simply ask is let your eyes touch my eyes and say, dude, I want to get it right today. If that's you, just real quick, I just want to make sure. That's you? Congratulations. there's a new name written down right now. There's not a special prayer to pray to get saved. It's an acknowledgement that, yeah, I can't make it. I want Christ on my own. He does say this, and that's why I ask you to look at me. He does say this, that if you'll confess me among friends, I'll confess you before your Lord. So I want you to just turn to her and say, I'm accepting Christ today. Just real quick. Ooh, I love that. I love that. I love that. There may be people here this morning. Yeah. There may be people here this morning. And see, after service, this guy right here, I want you to come to him. And he's going to pray with you. Okay? We're going to give you a Bible. We're going to talk to you a little bit. All right? The rest of you, if there's stones in your heart, there's things that need to be taken care of, take care of them today. Don't let the enemy steal what he's moving in your heart right now. Amen? Amen. And then go paint a picture of hope to this city. There are people that are not here anymore that should be here. Go get them. There are people that you know that need to be here. Go get them. Every one of you has a story. He delivered me from myself. He delivered me from fear. He delivered me from negativism. He delivered me from depression. He delivered me from drugs. He delivered me from alcohol. He delivered me from myself. He delivered me from pride. He delivered me from fear. Go tell your story. Because God chose to use you. I can't believe it. And the reason why I have a hard time is because He chose to use me. And I see the darkness of who I am. But yet He chooses to use me. And if He does that, dude, I know He can use you 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Amen? Let us sing this morning. Lead us.